Our lesson today is going to be one I think we all understand, but at the same time, it can be a little bit confusing to us. I'd like to start by saying this. There's a group of us that went to see latest episodes of The Chosen last night, and there was just a thought that came to me that I wanted to remind us all of as we go through this. Our only source of knowledge about God is what He has told us, and He tells us in His Word. And therefore, we need to make sure that what we are reading and what we are studying is exactly what God says to us in His Word, because that God has given us to know, and we'll see a little more clearly as we go through. The reading this morning from Psalms 145, verses 1 through 9, talks about two situations. One, that the things of God are unsearchable. You can't know them. We can't know them now. We can't know all there is to know about Him. There are things about God that for us are unsearchable. But then, as you drop down a few verses, it says that we will share with others the things that we know that God has done. We will share with others the things that we know that God has said. So there are things that we can know about God. We can know about God and we can know what He has done in certain ways because of what He has made known to us. But there are things that we cannot know. And so many times when we try to figure things out, we make a mistake. We have a problem. In the book of Job, there is a passage, Job 42, verses 1 through 6. We're going to put up some verses on the screen that we're going to read together. Then there's some that I'd invite you to turn to, and you can choose what you would do with those. This is one I'd like for you to turn to. In this particular passage in Job chapter 42, it is after God has had His discussion with Job. And Job is making comments after that discussion with God. For the longest part of this book, Job is angry with God. He's angry with God because he knows God has made a mistake. He's angry with God because he knows or thinks that God has done something that should never have been done, and God has him confused with somebody else, and Job looks at God as if he is wrong and confused and will one day straighten it out and make everything right. And then God calls Job up for a conversation. This verse comes at the end of that conversation. And in the middle of these verses, Job will quote God twice. But he begins in chapter 42 in verse 1. It says, "Then Job answered the Lord," after God had finished talking with him, and he said, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge?" That's one of the first quotations from Job, repeating what God has said. And then Job will say, "Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, for which I did not know." I made a mistake, Job is saying. I didn't know what I was talking about. I accused you of things I had no understanding about. I didn't know at all what you were doing. The second quotation from God, Job speaks, is in verse 4. "Hear and I will speak. I will question you and you make it known to me." That's what God does with Job. "I've got some questions for you, Job. You tell me the answers to these questions." And Job can answer none of them. Then he says this, "I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, and now my eyes see you. Therefore I despise myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." All that he felt so confident about, with regard to God being wrong, he was dead wrong. And now he sees it. And now he sees just how wrong and how sinful he was in all of the things that were going on. Some things we can know. Some things we can't. With regard to some things that we don't know, this reading. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. That word inscrutable is an interesting word. The idea of inscrutable comes from a Latin word. It means not to search, not able to search, not able to understand, not able to know, impossible to know. And God's way and God's judgments are inscrutable, impossible for us to know them, to know what's going on. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. There are some things about God we don't know. There are some things that God does that we don't understand. And we cannot comprehend and understand the things that God is doing. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29 says this. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. He hadn't told us about them. He doesn't let us know about them. But the things that are revealed, made known to us by God in his holy word. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. What God has made known to us, he's revealed in Scripture. He's made known to us the things we need to know. He's made known to us the things that we need to make sure that we're learning and knowing. But there's some things he hasn't made known to us that he doesn't tell us about. There's some things we don't know. But then again, there are some things that we do know. Turn over to Psalms 139 and read this one with me. Verses 1 through 6, and the Bible will tell us this with regard to things that we don't know. Psalms 139, starting with verse 1, the Bible reads like this. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. There's not a thought you and I have that he doesn't know. Even before we think it. Even before we're aware that we're going to think. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. He knows what I'm going to say before I ever do. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. There's just some things about God I do not know. And I don't understand. And he tells us that in Isaiah 55. My thoughts are greater than your thoughts. And my ways are greater than your ways. And then he gives an illustration. I don't know how long we've been exploring the sky and been exploring outer space, but we're nowhere near the end of it. And the further we go and the greater pictures we make, we more and more realize there may not be an end to it. It goes on and on and on, and we cannot comprehend it. But the Bible will tell us that God's thoughts are greater than ours. His ways are greater than ours. And the things that he does in making all of heaven and everything around us helps us to see that just as the sky above where we live in this globe called Earth, everything beyond it, something we can't comprehend, and we probably will never be able to completely explore. And then we think about that in connection with heaven. I know we do this sometimes when we have a singing, and I don't mind us doing it. Heaven is a place where we will sing. Yeah, we will. But there's a lot more we'll do in heaven as well. We will come to know more than we've ever known before. We will come to see more than we've ever seen before. And we will explore the greatness and the unknowableness of God for eternity, and we will never reach the end of it. It will last forever and ever. So great is our God. There are some things we don't know, but there are some things we do know. And we're expected to know them because they are part of that that is revealed to us. The book of Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 18, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, will say this, when he's describing to them and for them exactly what it is that God would have us to know and to understand. It starts in verse 18 with these words, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God? There's something we can know about God? Yes. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. All we got to do is look around at the world we live in, and we come to know God. All we have to do is to open up his word and read what he says, and we come to know God. There are some things we cannot know, but there are some things we're expected to know. There are some things we're expected to search out. Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 through 34, or 24 says this, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. There's some things I can know. The things that God has revealed, I can know them, and I am to know them, and I am to live by them. The book of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes this, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. His divine power has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And we come about that knowledge by knowing him, understanding him and the things that he says. And he says then, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Through them, listening to his promises, listening to his word and his will, we eventually become like him in his divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. There are things we can know. There are things we can't know, but there are things that we can know. John 17, verse 3, John writes this, and this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. They know what they can know about God. They know it because of what God has revealed. They know it because of his word. There's a third section to this lesson that I want to close with. And it's about a word that is found throughout the Bible, and it's translated different ways and at different times, but I want us to look at two verses. The word is the word portion. And it's usually used sometimes with regard to what somebody is going to inherit, what somebody is going to have. But it also can be used in a number of different ways in what part of this belongs to me or what part of this is mine. And it's that idea of portion, and that word is used. And the first thing that is going to be said with regard to it that we're going to look at is God is my portion. I want you to read it with me. It's Psalms 73. And in Psalm 73, we'll not read all of it. We'll just read just a few verses. I want you to read with me what the Bible says and follow closely and look carefully at this word for portion. We're going to see Psalm 73, and we're going to start with verse 23, and we're going to read down through verse 28. I keep trying to get to chapter 73, and I keep putting that in. Psalm 73, verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. All I want is you. All we need to desire is him. God is my portion forever. There's a very interesting passage in the book of Luke. It's a passage that all of us are familiar with. It's a passage where Jesus goes to the house of Martha, and there he sits and begins to teach. Martha is preparing a meal. And as Martha is preparing the meal, she notices that her sister Mary is sitting listening to Jesus. And as she's sitting and listening to Jesus, Martha becomes more and more frustrated and finally comes to the boiling point and goes into the room where Jesus is and says, "Do you have no concern that my sister Martha is not helping me with all the cooking and with all the preparation? Will you please tell her to come help me?" You remember what Jesus says. According to the English Standard Version of the Bible, according to that translation, most of the others will substitute a different word, but it is this word. And Jesus will say to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled and concerned about so many things. But there's only one thing that is necessary. And Mary has chosen her portion. And the portion that she has chosen is the good portion." What's the good portion? To listen to what he says. To hear what he says and to obey him. That God has given to us to know. That God has given us to learn. He's not given us everything, but he's given us his word. He's given us our portion, which is to pay attention to his words. And it's all we need to know. How are you doing with God's word? Are you listening to him? Are you reading it? Are you paying attention to it? Are you surrendering to it? There may be some this morning who are ready to put on Christ in baptism, as Christ has instructed us. There may be some who desire to come home to Christ. If you desire or need to respond to his invitation this morning, we want to offer it to you as we stand together and sing.